Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Just anoint this message, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were created, and apart from him not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Let me just marinate in that. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive it. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision, but born of God. The word became flesh and took up residence among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in his closest relationship with the Father, he has declared him. Amen. Thank you. Please take your seats. Jesus is the true and living Word of God. Jesus is what the law and the prophets pointed towards and bowed towards. Jesus is what the Old Testament was trying to say but could never fully articulate. Jesus is the perfect Word of God in the form of human life. God could not say everything he wanted to say in the form of a book, so he said it in the form of Jesus. Jesus is what God has to say. 100 years. The night limited train was introduced in 1924. It was the first train between Wellington and Auckland, and man, it was a speedster you got from Auckland to Wellington in 16 hours. The All Black team, the Invincibles, undertook their historical tour of Europe, defeating every country they played. The transglobal radio, the first transglobal transmission, was sent from New Zealand to London. Frank Bell sent a Morse code message from his family sheep farm in Shag Valley, Otago, to London. And a small church was planted in Sandringham. And today we celebrate the faithfulness of God for 100 years. The Church of Jesus Christ stands as a beacon. And we see men, faithful men and women who believe the word that Jesus is what God has to say, not just for their generation, but they looked into the future and they believed God had a dream. And they stood together and they said they saw the message of Jesus resonate. You know, I shared it last night when the pastor of Mount Albert Baptist first called the first meeting of people to see if there was any interest in planting a church. Seven people turned up. Seven people came and caught the dream who believed God was calling them. And the faithfulness of those seven people planted this church. And 100 years on, I wonder if they dreamed this. The thousands, and I mean the thousands of people who have come and received the message of the kingdom, the myriad of people who would come to know Jesus as their Savior and King and be baptized, and the hundreds who would be healed. We are the children of that dream. And while today we are here, we must always remember we are part of something far greater. You know, we are part of something that was, of history, of men and women who believed. And they stand behind us in history, not just 100 years here, but down through the myriads of centuries, right down to the apostolic fathers. We are part of something now. Not only just what's happening here, but part of Kim's ministry in Borneo, seeing churches planted almost weekly throughout Borneo from our teams. We're part of Judy and Victor's work in Spain. We have two churches in Canada that were planted by people who were trained here. I just had a phone call just recently from a pastor in Auckland and another church, and he was ringing me after 3-4 years, to be honest, and he just rang me. And he said, I just want to thank you for what happened to me at Liberty. My life was changed. We have lives of people who encountered the living Christ here. And it's nothing to do with us. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. So we're part of something that was. We're part of something that is. And we're part of something that will be. The story has not stopped here. It won't stop here. One of our core values that we live out of is that our ceiling will be the floor of the next generation. And we want people to passionately follow us and do greater than us. And we want to celebrate them and cheer them on. 100 years. Liberty Church was born as Edendale Baptist Church in 1924. It started as an afternoon Sunday school. And the Russell household in Tumata Ave, just off Mount Albert Road. Later a section would be bought in that very area, and a house and a church would be erected. It became known as Sandringham Baptist because the name of the suburb had changed at that time. And Awaraka, the building that we have here today, it began again as a Sunday school in 1946, and it too has a rich, rich history. Now, to remind us of our history, on this podium here, we have the word spirit, and they came from the word from Sandringham Baptist up in the Tomato Road that we left. The letters up there that make the word ANR is from on the beam there, it came off the sign that once hung on the outside of Sandringham Baptist Church in Duncan Ave. And today we're learning to be followers of Jesus. Every single day we learn more. Even a rudimentary reading of the New Testament makes us confront the fact that following Jesus means we are called to be in community. We cannot be authentic followers of Jesus without being deeply rooted and committed to community. And at Liberty here, we're learning what it means to be that kind of community. Different backgrounds, different family experiences, different educational levels. It does not matter. We've been called to move forward. We describe it this way. We've been found in Christ and formed in family. 100 years ago, the commitment of those first believers, they declared their commitment to stand together. March 1924, the following was read at a meeting of Mount Albert Baptist Church. We, the undersigned, being members of various churches mentioned, petition that Mount Albert Church, at the Edendale branch, that's us, be constituted into a separate church. We are willing to undertake the responsibility of foundational membership and ask that immediate steps be taken to this effect. Approval was given with the following comment. We rejoice in this forward move and pray that divine favour may rest upon the infant church. May it ever be known as a loyal, united and harmonious church of God. Hasn't always been that way, as some of you know, but we're working on it. On the 50th anniversary in 1974, a booklet was produced celebrating the first 50 years. On page 6 it says this, I love this, our buildings have changed, our personnel have changed, but our message and our Lord has not. The confident hope of the future is based on the fact that Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer continued on, we will see to it under the enabling of the Holy Spirit that the love of God will sound forth in life-changing power and that the name of Jesus will be uplifted. Wow, what faith these people had. The booklet finishes with a discussion of what impressions can be drawn by considering the past, their past. Oh, and this is how it noted. It says that we must consider the unfailing faithfulness of God and the unchanging character of Christ. And then it goes on with this. We must remember the continuing work of his church, pioneered by men and women of vision, of indomitable courage and practical faith, who disdained to count the cost, but willingly sacrificed time, energy, and practical possessions that the church at Sandringham may prosper. Isn't that an amazing declaration? Isn't it? And finally, the author writes this. We are indebted to those who have gone before. But what of the future? Let us ever be mindful that it is not the beginning of a good work, but the continuing thereof until it be thoroughly finished, which yields the true glory. Christ remains the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The challenge to the church is unaltered. Go and preach the gospel. It then says this, life has become more sophisticated and complex. Boy, today, well, we're a little bit further on, I think, than that. But the basic need is the same. The separation exists between man and his creator. Jesus said, I have come to give life more abundantly. The need was never greater. I think those are words that are prophetic for us today, yeah? Let us then, as men and women of God, accept the challenge, and aided by the Holy Spirit, may we praise God for all that is past and trust him for what is to come. Amen? Prophetic words, words that resonate for each one of us. Whether you're still part of Liberty or not, they should resonate in us as followers and disciples of Jesus. I can tell you today that Liberty Church stands strong. And it says we are here for this generation. There are no doubts. Yeah, man, we have issues. We really have issues we need to contend with, things we need to face, things we need to have victory over. But we know this. We have one foundation and one focus. And there's no other foundation that can be laid except Jesus Christ. When we confess the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are confessing that our lives no longer belong to us. They belong to Jesus. We just live here. Jesus owns the right to our lives. For us, it's all very clear, and this is how we stated it as a church for our generation. We are followers of Jesus, seeking to be authentic expressions of the kingdom of Jesus in the 21st century. We believe that Jesus is the king of the world, and as an expression of Jesus' kingdom, we are following him on a journey of faith as a worshiping and just community. You know, the church, all the church, is at present is a colony of heaven with the responsibility for bringing the life and the rule of heaven to bear on earth. Salvation is this, to live in the kingdom that comes from heaven, bringing peace and justice and human flourishing to earth. And wherever that happens, King Jesus bestows forgiveness upon all. And finally, at the end of the age, as we've declared this morning, raises the dead. What does the kingdom of God look like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like the sick being healed, the poor being clothed, the hungry being fed, the demonized being delivered, the dead being raised. It looks like outsiders being given a seat at the table, and hypocritical gatekeepers given their comeuppance. It looks like forgiveness for sinners and a feast for all. For those that embrace the radicalness of the kingdom of God manifested, it looks like a party, hey, where the water gets turned into wine. Origen of Alexander said, Jesus is the kingdom in person. So listen, if it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not the kingdom of God. God is Christ-like, and in him there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. Michael Ransbury, Archbishop of Canterbury. Jesus is what God has to say, and we're followers of him. We're followers of the way. He's given us a mandate, and I'm sure most of us can quote it. Jesus didn't say to go into all the world and get people saved, or get people to ask me into their hearts. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And we as a church, we set down for the future of this church. I declare to every one of you to hold us account. We are committed to being disciples who make disciples. Discipleship is not an add-on. This generation needs to reclaim discipleship. Reclaiming discipleship is the heart of Christian faith. Seeing anew the gospel, the cross, the resurrection, transformation, and a community of faith. We learn the ways of Jesus by practicing them. It's not something that's studied. It's not something. It is something that is lived. Discipleship means joining God's joyful mission of reconciliation on earth, of not just saving lives for the afterlife. You know, following Jesus is more like taking a walk in the woods and sitting in a classroom. The kingdom is more like building a forest or seeing a forest growing rather than constructing a building. You know, Jesus went from city to city, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, demonstrating the nature of God's kingdom by healing the sick and by bringing people into freedom, emotional freedom, physical freedom, psychological freedom. Jesus called people to follow him to become his disciples. And we are called to represent Jesus in this world. The Holy Spirit abides in us. Go, Deacon! Hard luck the war was there. Next time. We experience the power, the presence, and the goodness of God. And we have been drawn irresistibly to the glory and the majesty and the beauty of Jesus. Each one of us here has our own story of coming to faith. You know, some of you have come to faith in this very house, experiencing healing and hope and deliverance. We heard Patolo's testimony last night, Kim's testimony last night. Man, I tell you, I just to hear those stories of life, of discovering Jesus. I'm constantly amazed by Jesus as he's unfolded by the Spirit. He just takes my breath away. Jesus overwhelms us with his brightness and his beauty. Jesus never changes. Jesus is a way of love and life that never ends. The power of kingdom is seen in the self-giving love of the cross. And we have a message of hope, of life, of wholeness, to live in and experience, but also to share with those around us. To live the message of Jesus is to live counterculturally in today's world. We need to rediscover the foundational practice of the church. Jesus is calling us to more. He's calling us to be shaped in his likeness, to experience his abundance. We're going to discover what we need to do by becoming his apprentices, by practicing the way. Which means to be like Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. You know, the Moravian church had a declaration that for me sums it up. And there are probably better Latin scholars in this room than I am, so I'm not going to even try the first bit. But the translation, because I slaughter the English language alone, any other languages. So I'll go for the second one. The Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him. Let me say it again. The Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him. As we give thanks for the last 100 years of this church and the stories every one of us has to tell, of things that have happened in this church, sometimes bad, but I hope more than good than bad. We need to remember the glory of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, and the call of Jesus. And my call for moving forward is let's be followers of Jesus. We, here in this church, we're going to walk the Jesus way. That's our call. And I want to encourage each one of you that it be your call. Jesus, we thank you for the 100 years of favor and blessing. We thank you for the good times. And Lord, even for the bad times, they were hard, they broke our hearts. We wish we could have changed some of them, but through them all, you have been faithful and you have transformed us a little bit more into your presence and likeness. Father God, today we stand as a people who are thankful and blessed. Lord, we know and testify to your presence, your power, and your provision. Lord, may this be a place where the wounded receive comfort, the weary are revived, the despairing are filled with hope, the depressed are filled with joy, the sick are healed, and where the thirsty and the hungry are filled up. Today, Lord, we come again and we dedicate ourselves afresh as a family of faith, lifting up the name of Jesus in this local community. Lord, we're thankful for the provisions that you've bestowed upon us, this beautiful building, amazing friends and relationships. And Lord, in everything we want to give that we say, can it be used for your glory? Father, today we give ourselves to the commission of King Jesus to serve and follow him, to live lives submitted to him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father. Amen. We're going to take up the Eucharist in a minute. And I want to invite you, this table that we're going to partake has been prepared, not of the church, but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is made for those who love the Lord a little and for those who love him more. You're all invited to come to the table for the certain and the uncertain, for the faithful and the doubters, to come to you who have much faith. Come, those who have little faith, those who have followed faithfully, those who have tried and maybe failed. There's always space for you at this table. Come not because of your own goodness, but because of the goodness of God. Come and meet the risen Christ afresh. Come and eat from the tree of life rediscovered. Turn your hearts towards Jesus and receive the salvation of God. For Jesus is the bread of life, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come to where heaven and earth overlap, the table of the Lord, and receive the life of Christ as your own, the grace and the peace of God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So can I invite our elders to please serve? We'll take a little bit of time. Please hold the elements. We want to take them together. There is gluten-free available. So just, if you need that. Everybody got some? Cool. The bread that you have received, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This cup you receive is the blood shed for you. Eat and drink it, and know that you're encountering the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take the elements together. Let's stand, shall we, as we finish this morning. Let's celebrate him.